Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. Are you pregnant, or is your life changing, or is motherhood just not what you fully expected it to be? Do you wish you had a friend walking this road with you, meeting you there to tell you what you could or couldn't expect, or to let you in on life's little mysteries? Something like that, right? We'll meet my friend, Brittany Bergman. Brittany is the friend we all need to walk us through pregnancy and the shifting courses of motherhood. Brittany and I are talking all about the changing seasons and the thought of radical hospitality. So many times in this conversation today, Brittany blows my mind. Like the thought of releasing pressure to curate my kids. If I believe that God made me exactly how He wants me, then how did I miss the fact that He made them exactly how He wants them? It's my job to nurture, teach, and guide them, but not to make them who I think they need to be. God already did that. Man, this conversation is so great, and I think that there is something here for everyone. So if you're not pregnant or your life isn't really changing, listen in, because I think that there's something here for you. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in.
Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Dwell Differently. For a fun and unique way to memorize God's Word, visit dwelldifferently.com. Now, on to today's show.
Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Brittany Bergman. And we are talking all things motherhood, parenting, and it's fitting right into our new series, Focus on Family. So, Brittany, hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so glad that we had a little bit of time to chat before we started recording, just to kind of, we both follow each other on social media. We got connected through book stuff. So I feel like I'm sitting down with a friend. It's just the first time that we get to like see each other face to face.
I feel the same way. It didn't dawn on me until you said that we haven't interacted face to face before, because I'm so used to watching your stories and having you in my ears through the podcast. So this is a delight.
Yeah, same. And so I got to actually, you and I both like fangirled when you had the opportunity to do an IGTV with Laura Tremaine, who's like just OG podcasting and book person. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. So I've gotten to see
and
you.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous.
It was so good. Y'all had such a good conversation.
Thank you. It was really fun.
She's so great.
She's delightful and just such a good person to talk to and an easy conversationalist. I really love her. And I'm excited for her book too.
Oh man, I'm so excited for her book. It's called I'll Go First, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be so good. So anyways, what's in your cup? What are you drinking today?
I'm double fisting coffee and water.
Very good. That's wise.
I keep the coffee flowing all day.
Same. When you're out and about, do you like go pick up coffee when you're out and around?
Yes. I try to do it only once a week, just for the sake of money. But I do, I have been known to go through the Starbucks drive-through.
What do you order?
At home, I like coffee with just a splash of cream. But if I'm going to Starbucks, I want a coconut milk latte.
That sounds good.
Just a little bit sweet. I love them.
Yeah, that sounds really good. If I go to the Starbucks, and I'm so thankful the guy that I ordered from the other day was like, hey, this is a $7 drink. Let me tell you how to order it better. I was like, oh, okay. And so I am going to order a chai tea latte with 2 pumps instead. And with water. He was like, get it with water. It's a little bit smoother. Instead I would like a dirty chai with 2 shots and almond milk. And he's like, this is $7. Don't do that. Order it this way. And it's cheaper. I was like, oh,
wow. Yeah. I would never have thought of that.
I didn't either. I was like, can you please write it down for me so I can like He was so kind. So it was good. But yeah, I'm the same way. I love to go out and get a coffee, but about once a week is my max because, well, especially since it's $7.
Yeah, right?
Okay, we're talking about your book Expecting Wonder, and we're talking about like the experience of motherhood and planning for mom, like planning to be moms. I told you before we started recording, it's been a long time since I planned to be a mom, having been one now for 14 years, but I didn't really know that you could prepare for motherhood. It was just, mm-hmm. I was so young that I was like, I'm pregnant now, here we go. And luckily I was around my mom and some really sweet mentors. But tell me your heart behind your book, Expecting Wonder.
Absolutely. So this book really grew out of that experience of being pregnant for the first time and not really knowing where to turn. I kind of thought that, you know, all the motherhood change stuff would come after the baby arrived. And it felt like, you know, I was already starting to go through this massive emotional overhaul. Even when I was trying to conceive, there's a lot of emotions wrapped up in that. And it felt like the books that I was, because I always turn to books when I'm going through a major life change. And so it felt like the books that were available to me were the What to Expect type books. But I got tired of those pretty quickly because it felt like they were treating me exclusively as a medical condition and not as this empowered woman who was going through a huge life change. And it felt like they sort of, these medical focused books served to increase my already high anxiety and made me feel like I was always doing pregnancy wrong by not eating all the right foods, not gaining the right amount of weight, being behind on the massive trimester by trimester to-do list. And I was also just feeling this really complicated mix of emotions. You know, I so desperately wanted to be pregnant. It was a deeply desired and planned for event in my life. And still, it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies and joy. Mixed in there was sorrow and fear and uncertainty because you don't really know what life is going to be like on the other side. And I wondered, like, is this normal? Why am I not feeling just happy and grateful all the time? You know, I'm having a relatively easy, quote unquote, pregnancy. So like, why does this feel so complicated? And so all that to say, what I really wanted was a friend who would be like a gentle companion in that season of my life, who would help me to understand that pregnancy is not just about the physical reality of growing a baby and preparing for life with that person. And so I wanted somebody who would offer me like their honest emotional account of what being pregnant was like, because it's not just about the biological reality of growing a human. It's about how each moment of pregnancy shapes us as we become mothers. And so I just started taking notes on pregnancy as I was living through it. I was already a writer and a blogger at the time, but it was definitely not the time to write a book. So I just thought, I'm just going to take tons of notes on this. Anything I could think of, I wrote it down, any emotional change, any, you know, big feeling, spiritual changes, stuff like that. And eventually I revisited those notes and started crafting essays about what it's like being pregnant for the first time and sort of how I became a mom through that and not just in the delivery room.
I love that because there's this change that happens, and it's interesting because I like remember it, and I miscarried my first pregnancy and then I got pregnant really quickly with Ezekiel. And then again, really quickly with Titus. And so it's such an interesting thing, that shift of motherhood where we believe life starts in the womb. And so that like sense of mom and protection and like protecting your body and doing everything right. And like hits right away. And it's this really abrupt identity change. Mm-hmm. And I was 19. Yeah, I was 19. And so I was already going through all these massive identity changes, and I wouldn't hit my identity crisis until like my mid 20s, but like it was like identity change because mm-hmm. I went from high school student to summer after high school, then to married, and then a year later into motherhood. And so there's these like really formative things that I missed as I jumped into motherhood. So what identity level transformations do we experience as we hit motherhood? Like, is that something that you can answer?
Yeah, I think it does usher in just this whole new layer to ourselves, because no matter how much we think selfishness has been rooted out of us, maybe to that point, never, I don't think ever in life are we so deeply attuned to somebody else and their needs and really putting their needs before ours in so many ways. And we could talk all day about what's healthy and what's not in motherhood. But what I'm saying is that dynamic really presents itself for the first time in pregnancy, because pregnancy is literally like this incredible act of hospitality. We are opening up our actual bodies to another person in an act that kind of makes us feel terrible sometimes. You know, we're sick, we're exhausted, our joints hurt, our bodies quite literally stretch out and our organs sort of rearrange themselves. Like, it is such an act of radical hospitality. And we do start to really focus on protecting that life and doing all the right things and wanting to make sure that whatever is in our control, that we are controlling it to sort of get to the best outcome. And then once that baby is born, like, oh my gosh, we're just attuned to every little tiny sound they make. I don't know if you had this experience, but even when my kids started sleeping better, I didn't, because I was listening for them and every little sound.
Isn't it funny too, because you know their cry so well, so you'd start falling asleep and your mind would start playing their crying, and I would have to like wake up and be like, I don't know if I'm actually hearing that or if my brain is tricking me, because I'm so used to hearing it.
Yeah. Or in the shower, like every dang time that I had the bathroom fan on, I swear I could hear their cries in it. Yeah. What is that? Phantom crying, I think is what they call it.
It's such a trick.
Yeah. So we get really wrapped up and we kind of, in a way, merge with this other human. Like our identity becomes merged with them. Hopefully for a short-term temporary time, because we're still our own people. But I really feel like to kind of survive that season of early motherhood, I had to merge who I was with my daughter. Because if I held too tightly to my autonomy very early on, it actually created frustration and resentment. And so I feel like as I was walking through that identity change, it was really important for me to sort of see us as a unit for the fourth trimester, and then intentionally sort of separate us into mother and child as she got older and as that became appropriate. But I guess the main change, like I was saying, is that another person becomes just as important, if not in our minds, temporarily more important than ourselves. And as much as like friendship can teach you that lesson and marriage can teach you that lesson and, you know, any number of relationships can teach us the importance of putting others first, like motherhood and pregnancy makes it a biological response, which is just, it's earth shattering in so many ways.
Yeah, it is. And I love that you said it's an incredible, radical act of hospitality. And I was thinking about just like an act of hospitality is inviting people in. And at some point people leave, right? And at some, there's like the separation. And so there's almost this accepting that has to happen. And we experience the same thing with our daughter who's adopted. There's this time of like separation, and that's when people like typically go home from a party. So we have to like be intentional in that, like, and kind of like, okay, so there's this separation act. I mean, they still live with us. They still need us. They still survive and depend on us.
Yeah.
So there's this, but it isn't the, radical act of hospitality anymore. So I think that's such a really cool way that you said that. And it's so beautiful, because it is like pregnancy is this really wild thing that we change everything about ourselves so that we can host this little being until they are able to kind of sleep on their own.
Like,
so fascinating. My best friend is pregnant right now, and she's like, like due any minute, and I am just like anxious for this new little one. This will be her fifth, so she's like well versed in motherhood. Yeah. But I'm just like anxiously awaiting. But even hearing fourth trimester reminds me that just because the baby's out doesn't mean it's done, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's a biological reality for babies too. They don't actually know that they are a person. They don't know that they are a separate person from their mom. Mm. I don't remember now. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I think it might be like six months that they start to realize it. It might be a little sooner than that. I can't remember, but they start to then sense that independence. And so, you know, if the baby doesn't know that they're a separate person, it explains a lot, and I guess helped me to make sense of why it felt like she needed me all the time.
Yeah,
because she did. And that doesn't mean that we can't take breaks, that we can't ask for help, that we can't trust our babies with other people. We absolutely can, and I am a big champion of all of that. Yeah. But when the demands feel exceptionally crushing, when it feels like, oh my gosh, why won't she sleep anywhere else, it at least it can make sense biologically.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the whole point of this series is that whether you are nursing a baby or playing with your grandchildren, that you will feel heard and loved in every season of life. And I think that whether you're getting ready to have a baby or you are 14 years removed like me, there's that remembrance of like, oh man, that's crazy hard work. But we also get to look back fondly and be like, oh man, that was really hard work. Mm. And it's so, so sweet. And it's something that like only we get to experience as a women. That's such a cool experience and such a gift. The hardest act of hospitality in the entire world, for sure. Mm-hmm. So just really, really love that you are walking our friends through this as a friend and saying, hey, this is what you're going to experience. One of my favorite pregnancy books. And it ended at birth, which I feel like is when we need somebody to pick us up more. Like there's enough, like you said, there's enough scientific books or enough books that like kind of walk us through what pregnancy could and should and might look like, but then they just end. And it's like, well, now I have a baby. What am I supposed to do now? But one of my favorite books was Jenny McCarthy's book, Belly Laughs, I think. And it just was like, so the books are going to tell you this, but this is like the real part of it. It was just so funny. I loved it. Yeah, it was just a good, like, lighthearted one. So I'm excited that this book, Expecting Wonder, your book, is here for our friends who need a roadmap. So will you tell me a little bit more about being a roadmap parent or having a roadmap in parenthood?
Sure. So a roadmap parent, to me, believes that their children come to them as fully formed human beings with their own unique desires, needs, temperaments, personalities, passions. And so obviously some of these things develop over time as our children make their way in the world. But this idea is sort of in contrast to the way I thought about parenting when I was pregnant. I had this idea that I would be the sculptor who would be shaping my kids, that I'd be sort of like given this blob of raw material that then I would be able to shape with my own personality and my parenting philosophy. And whatnot. And what kind of crystallized for me when I found out the sex of my first baby is that I thought that moment would tell me like everything I needed to know about being a parent, right? I was either going to be a girl mom or a boy mom, but it actually told me very little about who my daughter would be. And so while it helped me narrow down, you know, paint colors and pick out some really fun jammies, my excitement about that was a reflection on me and my taste and desire. And it told me almost no information about who she was going to be. I didn't know still if she would be introverted like me or extroverted like my husband, if she would be sweet or spicy or both, as it turns out, if she'd be cautious or fearless, or if she'd be artistic or intellectual. And I just realized in that moment that no matter how little I knew about her, I realized that I would do everything I could to help her discover herself and love herself. And even then, when she arrived, I realized that I was still kind of holding on to some expectations. I thought that, again, that it would still be me and my parenting style that was largely shaping who she was. But as I've become a mother and learned who she is over the past 5 years, I realized that there's so much about her that I could never predict or control. And it can be really easy to think that the measure of our success or our goodness as parents is about our child's external behaviors. So instead, in summary, I kind of think of my job as to be a roadmap parent, discovering who my children already are and showing them all the available routes to get to the very best version of that person. Because there is still some influencing and shaping that I need to do, right? Like, our kids don't come out totally knowing like social norms and how to act at school. And, you know, helping my daughter what feels like through the endless phase of meltdowns. And so there's still shaping and coaching that I want to do to make her the best version of herself. But it's exactly that. She's already herself. And I am helping her harness the power of the personality she already has.
I love that. And I never would have been able to put words to that. The Enneagram has kind of helped me a little bit with that, like knowing that like God created me to be the way I am. And I like have those like little personality traits. And then my parents came alongside and obviously like shaped and taught and all of those. But yeah, you're absolutely right. When we're pregnant, we think like, okay, well, there's so much pressure, right? Like, we have to raise these kids and they've got to be sweet and they've got to be like kind and polite and all of these things. Like, but really we're getting just this little thing that God's already like input everything in. And then we just have this sweet chance to teach them and to love them and to kind of just guide them. But like God's already done, like he's already created them. Like he knit them together in our inmost being. So like, it's that, like, I never would have been able to put words to that. But and then you think about, like, multiple kids. Like, I have 2 biological and 1 adopted. And I've raised them all exactly the same, minus Zoe, the first 5 years. And they're all so different. Their personalities couldn't be more different. Mm-hmm. Especially if you look at our boys. Like, it's just, they've had the same parents their entire lives. And they are so completely different. Mm-hmm. Yet, their family morals and their family, like the things that like we are trying to shape and influence in them are both there, but yet these boys are like so crazy different. And then you see like Zoe one day likes unicorns and sparkles and now she's like, ugh, punk rock. I'm like, you are one, you're deaf, you can't hear punk rock. Number two, when did punk rock, why? And so it's just like the influences around them shape them. And that's part of our job, is just to make sure what's influencing them is good. And so, I never would have put like thought to that. Like, we're just a roadmap. They're coming with their own car. Like, it's fine.
So, yeah.
That's so cool. I am like, my mind is kind of blown right now.
Oh, well, thanks. That's a nice thing to say.
So good. I'm just gonna like sit on that today. Like, oh my gosh, like it just releases so much pressure for us as moms. Yeah, and I think especially as moms of babies and of our littles right now, like, and even our moms of like my mom, like, hey, you did the best with what you had. like it's totally good.
Yeah. So, we're not responsible for pouring all our knowledge and all our feelings and all our values into their sort of empty heads, right? Like, they come equipped by God to be who they were created to be. Yeah. And what an honor and what a relief that we get to partner with them in bringing that into the world, that we don't need to generate it, you know? Yeah. We just have to help them harness it for good.
Yeah.
That's challenging enough, right? But it's a little bit less pressure.
Yeah, so much less pressure than thinking like I have to make this person be everything that they need to be and like make them find their love, like their passion and all this stuff. And it's like, oh man, that's so much pressure. So much pressure. So Okay, well, I want to talk just a little bit more about like flexing our no muscles. Mm-hmm. Now, is this something that you flex within your home? Is this like saying no to outside space? What does flexing our no muscles, like where do we start and how what does it look like?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. For me, it started in pregnancy as having to flex my no muscle with things outside of my family, especially toward the end of pregnancy. It felt like the activity just ramped up like crazy. Like there was so much to do to get ready at home. There was the nursery and all the baby gear that we were so incredibly blessed with at the baby shower, but you have to like do something with it. And you don't want to be like wrestling with all those parts after the baby arrives and you're sleep deprived. But then I was also really busy at work trying to prepare for maternity leave, and lots of my friends, even like really extended friends, were like, oh, let's try to grab lunch before the baby arrives. Let me do this with you before the baby arrives. And it was like a beautiful gesture, of course. And I was grateful for everything that made me that busy. But the closer I got to the end of pregnancy, the more and more I just felt like I was drawing inward. Mm-hmm. I wanted to not just nest at home, but like I wanted to focus all my mental and emotional energy sort of inward on processing what was to come, preparing for the baby. And I felt like I just wanted to run away from everything that was outside of myself. And of course, I couldn't do that fully. But as I like kind of processed this with my husband, he's like, you know, I think you need to listen to that. If that's what your body is telling you, and that's what the Holy Spirit is telling you, then yeah, I think you need to start saying no more. And I'm usually the kind of person who's like, let's just pile it on. Mm-hmm. And I was also really getting to know myself at that point and learning just how deeply introverted I am and how much saying no allows me to flourish in the areas that matter most. And so as I was kind of putting those pieces together, I realized, you know, what's best for me and my baby in this season is to learn to flex that no muscle. And so I really did. I cleared out about half of my calendar commitments, which feels like even a foreign thing because who has calendar commitments anymore? And I tried to really prioritize saying yes to the things that would help me be the best version of myself as I got ready to take on motherhood. And since then, it has really helped to serve me like in new motherhood and as I've grown alongside my kids, because it felt like I strengthened that muscle at a time that felt a little bit low stakes. And then when I had this newborn, I felt a lot more comfortable saying no to things that felt wrong for our family. Because again, I'm one of those people that it takes me a long time to bounce back from having babies. Like I want to stay home. And some people, the best thing they can do is get back out there. Right. And so I think flexing that no muscle can work in both ways, right? Like we can say no to the outside world, or we can say no to kind of like staying at home and insulating. But learning, I think what serves us best, like what our best no is, allows us to get to that best yes. Is that what Lisa Turkhurst says? Is that her book, Best Yes?
Yeah.
I love that idea. And it's so freeing to think that by saying no, we are welcoming our own flourishing and the flourishing of our families, because now I flex that muscle on behalf of my kids too. It remains to be seen with my son. They have very different personalities, like you were saying. I think he's the social one, and my daughter is very shy and highly sensitive. And so it's part of my job as a mom right now to flex that no muscle on her behalf so that I'm taking care of her energy needs and her social needs and whatnot, and really holding in balance like the individual needs of each member of our family, but also our needs as a unit, as a collective, because those are different things. And it's a challenge to hold it all together. But I think learning to say no for myself has made me better at navigating that family dynamic.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that so often we forget that we're the gatekeepers of our house, like what comes in, what comes out, like all of that stuff. Like we as moms really do have a lot of control in that. And and we have control in that when it comes to managing our kids' energies, like their highs and their lows. And even having bigger kids now, I'm like, hey, you were gone like 2 weekends in a row. Like you did sleepovers a lot. Like, let's pull back. Like, let's have some time at home. Let's rest really well. And my kids are all pretty well. My oldest is a little bit more like I am, where like you can go out for a spurt and then like we'll stay home. Like,
yeah,
quarantine. I didn't hate quarantine because I like being home. Like, mm-hmm. I miss my people. So that was a struggle, like, cause that's like fills me up, yeah. But I also work with a ton of people, you know, like I'm in this space. So I didn't feel totally isolated, which is such a blessing and such a sign of privilege. But at the same time, like it's so he's a lot like me where his, like, he's like, best day ever is to stay home in our jammies, watch movies all day long. Yeah. I'm like, yes,
that's my Zoe, best day too.
Oh, mine too. And Zoe's like, what are we doing? Where are we going? Who are we seeing? How long are we staying there? What can I do? How do I need to dress? And I'm like, oh, that's exhausting. But that fills her up. And yeah. So, you know, we have to kind of balance this for each kid. And it's so fascinating because they're all so different. And then we're also balancing ours on top. I'm like, we can go out for an hour and then we're going home.
Yep.
So it's fascinating, but it's that gatekeeper role, I think, that we play so often. And we have to learn our kids in that sense of like, okay, who are we saying, like, and I have to learn, like, who am I saying no to right now? Who can I say no to next? Like, kind of balancing that. But I think 2020 was a great example of having to say no to some stuff, because there was times where it was like, yeah, we probably could do that, but should we? Is it safe? Is it wise? And having to say no to some stuff where we said no to a couple of things and we're kind of like, not scoffed at, but like, well, it's okay. And I was like, well, we're actually like, I'm trying to protect you here. Like, it's just wise for us not to. And so it was just this balance of like flexing that no muscle. And I am a people pleaser through and through, and saying no is not easy for me. So I was like, if I'm telling you no, it's like, it really means something. So
yeah,
just like, let me say no.
For all the hard parts of 2020, and there are so many, and I will be processing it for a very long time to come, it certainly taught me a whole new level of discernment and asking really important questions about everything, you know, about every, and that decision-making is also exhausting. You know, I think we all have 2020 decision fatigue, but man, it taught us to ask good questions and to be really wise and discerning about what we do
and why we do it.
And yes, absolutely.
I think that why is really, even as we're in the middle of January, that why has been heavy on my heart. Like, well, why do we do this? Like, why is it this way? Why do I spend the way I spend? Why has been such a good question. And then our pastor talked about that, asking ourselves questions and how sometimes we lie to ourselves the most, and asking ourselves those hard questions and then saying, really? Like, well, why are you the way you are, really? And it's like, oh, hard. That one's not as easy to answer, but like, why are you spending the way you're spending? Like, really?
So
like, why do we believe the way things we believe? Like, really? So it's just 2020 brought up a lot of questions. And as we process that year, there'll be lots of questions.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Do you want to memorize more of the Bible, but struggle to actually do it? Dwell Differently has developed unique ways to help you memorize one Bible verse each month. They take the first letter of each word in a verse, create a cool design, and then put that design on a key tag, a note card, or a temporary tattoo, letting you take God's word wherever you go. How great is that? They also post daily inspiration on Instagram, share weekly devotionals on their website, and host a podcast, all meant to help you apply this verse to your life. If you're just getting started with your faith or long to go deeper, Dwell Differently is a great way to start. To join their monthly program, visit dwelldifferently.com. That's dwelldifferently.com. Now, back to today's show.
Well, as we know and believe, there's a time for everything under the sun. It's what Ecclesiastes, I think it's 3, tells us. What is it time for in your life right now?
So this really goes along with the word that I picked for this year. Do you pick a word of the year?
I did. I just shared mine this week on Instagram. I want to hear yours though.
Oh yeah. Okay. So my word for this year is nourish.
I have a friend who did the same word.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That year is the only 2 I've heard of that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So for me, I mean, 2020 was a year of intensity and intense amounts of pouring out, and just lots of reinvention. We were actually without childcare entirely before the pandemic even hit. Okay. And I had 2 kids. I was back to work. I was trying to launch this book into the world. And we were just trying to figure out, what are we going to do for childcare? How are we want to find something that's going to be good for each kid, good for our whole family, and reliable and a long-term thing? And so I put a ton of creative energy into that, a ton of creative energy just into surviving the pandemic, a busy year at work, and then, yeah, getting into the nitty-gritty of book marketing and book launching leading up to when my book released in August. And I feel so very depleted, even though there were lots of individual joyful and energizing moments that got me through. I finished 2020 feeling completely empty. And so at first I thought my word should be feed, because I wanted to feed my creativity. I want to feed myself through self-care. And then I was like, that's just not a pretty enough word. Let's make it nourish. So I want to nourish my inner life again. I want to nourish this interior world that is so important to me. I want to nourish my faith. I want to nourish myself through quiet moments and creative exploration, not just producing content to stay relevant or whatever, but really focusing on creativity as play and as self-care again, and as just pure fun sometimes. Mm-hmm. And of course, I want to nourish my family. I want to keep meeting people's needs. I want to dig even deeper into what that might look like in this next season as my daughter transitions to kindergarten and we kind of usher in this next phase of family life. And I talk about this a little bit in the book, but I have struggled with disordered eating most of my life. And though I am much healthier than I have ever been, those, behaviors, are always under the surface in terms of like eliminating this food group and restricting my diet in that way. And I want to more holistically nourish my family, not by making sure that everybody gets the exact macros they need, but instead by eating really good food, and kind of just exploring what it might look like to nourish us with pasta and veggies and more plant-based things and just kind of see where it goes. That was a very long explanation.
But I love that. I think that's so good. And I think that that settles right into like exactly what it's time for you. And I love that so much. Yeah, I do. My friend, hers was nourished too. And I told you, I just shared mine. And I was kind of like on that like fence of like, stand strong, be brave. And it was just like, God kept coming back to like, remain in me and bear fruit. Yeah. And it was just that reminder of like, we have to stand strong in what we're doing. Yeah. I think this last 6 months has been hard for me personally. But it also is hard to be online. Like it's hard to show up online and be authentic, but also be like we said, answering those questions of like the why, like what's going on? Why am I the way I am? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? But also God planting some like really big dreams in my heart and being like, okay, well, like, that means I have to continue showing up here and I like it here and I like my podcast, but like, God, what am I doing? And so just that, like, remain in me and you will bear fruit. And it's like, okay, like, I'll just keep showing up. And then it's also been that sweet season of like remaining, but then like looking back at where those roots have kind of like, it was kind of feels like, God's given me a lot of like tree metaphors lately where it's like, from seed to sequoia has been a song I listen to all the time. Oh, it's a really pretty song. And so I've thought so much about that, but like also the seed that the Lord and I planted together, which is all my dreams. And I've seen them kind of take root. And then all of a sudden I've seen like this little sprig of a plant. And I'm like, oh, we planted something. It's starting to grow. Like, look. And God's like, yes, I told you we're doing something here. And I'm like, look at this little plant. It's going to grow. And he's like, yeah, just remain in me and we're going to bear fruit together. I'm like, oh, I get it. Like I'm getting it. So I think it's that same, like there's abundance to be had, but we have to nourish it, and there's abundance to be had, but we have to be faithful and remain connected to our source.
That's beautiful. And what a gentle and gracious perspective that we can adopt heading into a year that's going to be a lot of recovery, a lot of emotional and physical and energy recovery. So that's amazing. I love it.
I love both of our words. So good.
Yeah. We're feeling the same kind of way.
Yes, we are. Have you seen, there's like this little reel bouncing around. It's like, if you're a millennial and you've experienced like a terrorist attack, like a live terror, clap your hands. And I was like, oh God, like that like hurts. Yeah. Like, it was like, watched a live a terrorist attack, a recession, something else. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wonder we're all in counseling.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did. I saw that one and it was so painful to watch. And yet I watched it like 20 times.
I'll continue. I'm probably gonna save it just so I can watch it and be like, this hurts my heart so much. But like, it also makes me feel so seen and heard where I'm like, oh, this is why. Okay.
So a friend of mine just posted a poem too. That's beautiful. I'll send it to you on Instagram. About, I remember the first and the last part that like we wake up these days and waking up breaks our heart because we remember the state of the world, but the poem ends with hand on my heart, hand on my stupid heart. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I feel sometimes, like hand on my stupid idealistic heart, believing for better.
My friend Robin shared a post that said, the girls in the Capitol building knew to turn the lights off, shut the door, like all, like they knew how to do all of this stuff because they learned it in school. And I was like, okay, I'm broken. Oh my gosh. Oh, and she's like, what are we raising our kids in? I'm like, when my kids are like, oh yeah, we had a lockdown today. I'm like, what? Like, it's not like just a fire drill. Like we got a real lockdown. Cool. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just like hand on my stupid heart. It's so heavy. We wake up and we just realize like, here's the pandemic we're living through. But we're not alone in it. Like that's the best part about it is like when they said that, like clap your hands. I'm like, this is not just me. It's so good. I love that we're not alone in this, Brittany. And I love that like you are that friend that can walk us through some expecting wonder and know that life is not over with pregnancy. Motherhood is just a part of who we get to be. If it's a part of our calling or our journey, I don't know. Where can we find your book? Where can we follow you and be friends with you and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I love being engaged over on Instagram. You can find me there at Brittany L. Bergman. And the book is available at all major online retailers, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble. Bookshop.org is one of my recent favorites because purchases there go to support your local bookstore of choice, which is super cool.
I didn't know
and
that.
Yeah, I hope that this could make a really great baby shower gift or Mother's Day gift for the expecting or even long past expecting moms in your life, because I think this is a part of our lives that we are continually processing that journey to and through motherhood. And so I hope it will be a gift to you or someone you love. And yeah, I can't wait to connect with you guys.
Yeah, thanks. This is so good. And you're right. This is a great book for everybody. And as we kind of like hit on trauma a little bit, like becoming a mom kind of starts with some trauma or like that, like that is a traumatic experience for all of us involved. Mm-hmm. So don't ignore that trauma, friends, like be engaged and really hone in. And this book's a great starting point. So thanks for writing
it. Thank you. Oh, thank you for that feedback. And and for having me on today. It was so wonderful to chat with you.
I really hope this conversation met you right where you're at today. And if you are beyond your mothering years, please share this episode with a friend or a loved one who is in the season right now. I believe Brittany can guide us along and help us feel loved on this journey of motherhood. We are not alone here. And remember, Brittany's book would make a great baby shower gift or any kind of gift, really. It's Expecting Wonder, and you can get it on the Amazon link in the description below. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.